Tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day for us all to gather with family and friends to barbecue and unofficially begin our summer. But more importantly, it's the time for us all to remember the men and women whose sacrifices made today possible. The men and women who don a uniform and those who once did. Those who serve today and those who gave their life in service to keep our nation safe and free. Every opportunity we get to make better lives for ourselves and for our families, we owe to these patriots. Generations of them who fought to keep our land a land of opportunity where anyone, regardless of race or religion, can achieve. I hope you will pause today and tomorrow and remember those who are paying a price today and those who paid the ultimate price. Know that their service will never be forgotten. May God bless them, our heroes, and may God bless America. At this time, I'm going to take a page from our senior pastor, Lincoln Skinner, and ask if there are any prayer requests or praises. So, I'm going to go down and join you. Does anyone have a prayer request or praise? Okay, Susan's brother Bud.
All of us in that were affected in Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara, yes, the family. All right. Yes?
Praise God for all the beauty of nature. We just got back from Africa and it was just marvelous.
All right. Praise for the beauty of the earth. So, yes?
My sister-in-law June of
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Laura Davis?
Laura Davis.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, please join me in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've blessed us with. And we thank you for this time to come together and worship you and learn about you. We lift up the hearts and minds of these people and all the requests, spoken and unspoken. We ask that you would be a healing presence for Susan's brother, Bud. We ask that you would comfort all those affected by the tragedy in Santa Barbara. We pray that you would comfort sister-in-law, June, and her recent loss. We praise you so much for the beauty of the earth, for eyes to see it and ears to enjoy it. And we ask that you please heal Lauren Davis as he begins a round of chemo. Lord, we lift all these up to you, knowing that you are the great physician, the great comforter, and our Heavenly Father. We know that you care for us and are concerned of all our worries, but you are also the great provider, and we thank you for this so much. Amen. Okay. All right. My lesson today comes from Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, which you will find on page 955 in the New Testament on your pew Bibles. I'm still getting over a cold, so if I start to cough a little, bear with me. I'm drinking hot tea up here. Okay. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. The title of my sermon, or my message, is Living La Vida Loca, which means the crazy life. The summer of 2012 was a very stressful time in my life. I was working on an IT implementation of a project management program in Anaheim. I'd never worked on an IT project before, and this project was a baptism by fire. The VP of the IT consulting company was an egotistical bully, and my own company's project leads were more interested in meeting the deadlines than in having a program that actually worked. The program was called CPD, which stands for Construction Planning and Design, but we often joked that it really stood for Causes People's Deaths, because the program testing and the work environment were so hostile and stressful. It was my job to make sure that the accounting systems for the program worked. And in my first week of testing, I found so many defects that they told me to stop testing for a month. At this same period in my life, I was also moderator of Oneonta. Many of you will remember that in June of that year, Oneonta unexpectedly found itself in a time of great transition. Needless to say, it was a time of uncertainty and stress, and I truly felt I was living the crazy life. But looking back at that time, I can see that God was teaching me some lessons, and I would like to share some of what I learned with you today. The verse from Philippians that I selected to start my message today is one of my favorites. It reminds me that at times of stress, I should take my concerns to God in prayer so that He can give me peace. This was and is a great comfort to me when life gets crazy. I have a dear friend at work who feels guilty when she worries because she knows that the Bible tells us not to worry. So I took a look at the concordance in my New American Standard Bible, and this is what I found. 3 verses about worry, 2 verses about having anxiety, and 10 verses about being anxious. I told my friend, God took the time to tell us 15 times about being worried or stressed because He knew we were going to be worried and stressed. He knew this would be a problem for us. In His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father cares for them. And are you not more valuable than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither spin nor toil. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. As human beings, it's very difficult for us not to worry. I can tell you that I come from a long line of worriers. But we can strive to take our worries to God in prayer. For the sooner we pray about what is troubling us, the sooner God can start giving us his peace. We would all like things in our lives to go smoothly, but things rarely go as planned. Life is filled with inconveniences. Our plans are interrupted and changed by forces beyond our control. Illness, traffic jams, conflicts, injuries, forgetfulness, malfunctions, impatience, and incompetence. What we need to see is the other side of inconvenience. Initially, we may think it has no other purpose other than to discourage us and make our lives more difficult. However, inconvenience could be God's way of protecting us from an unseen danger, or it might be the start of something better than we had planned. It could be an opportunity for us to demonstrate God's grace and forgiveness, or it could be a test of how we respond to adversity. Even though we may not know God's reason, we can be sure of his motive, which is to draw us closer to him, to make us more like Jesus, and to further his kingdom on earth. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says in part, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. There have definitely been times when I wish God didn't have quite so much confidence in me. But when I look back at the time of conflict, stress, and confusion that I was going through, I know that God was using these circumstances to draw me closer to him. He was reminding me of my weaknesses so that I would rely on his strength. And how do we behave under stress? When things are at their worst, it's really difficult to be at our best. Also in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Now I can tell you, it is really hard to love the person who is bullying you during the program requirements meeting. This person was the VP of the consulting company, and he knew that if he bullied people, they wouldn't speak up at meetings. This man was charging my company large amounts of money, while at the same time making my job very difficult. It was beyond frustrating. In full disclosure time, I still don't love him. But I can tell you that praying for him did help me deal with him in a professional manner. 1 Peter 3:9 tells us, "Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with blessings. It is for this that you were called, that you may inherit a blessing." So even though I was tempted to respond in kind to this person's name-calling and snide remarks, I focused instead on speaking up to explain what changes were needed to the program and why they were needed for the accounting system to work. Eventually, the project leaders started to recognize that I actually knew what I was talking about, and they came to appreciate the fact that I spoke up. I know that God gave me the confidence to stand up to this person, but that he also prevented me from sinking to this person's level. During this difficult time, God provided me with so much support from my family, from my friends, members of Oneonta, and Lincoln. Their support and prayers made a huge difference during this difficult time. I am so very grateful to God for all the wonderful people he has blessed my life with. And I want to thank you all for your continued support. And if you ever find yourself living the crazy life, remember to take your worries to the Lord in prayer. Thank you.